This is Garden City Community College Bronkbusters Coaches Show, a chance to visit with Bronkbusters coaches and athletes live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Here's your host, the voice of the Bronkbusters, Cal Friedman.
Welcome in, middle of October, Thursday, October 12th. Cal Friedman here for KWKR 999. Welcome to another edition of the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. Got a busy show for you tonight. We will hear from strength and wide receiver coach Von Van Dame after football's big-time win at Independence last week. We will also hear from head coach Corey Bryant about his team's recent results against Seward County and Dodge City on the soccer pitch. But we will open up the show the same way we opened up last week with volleyball that has been on absolute fire on the court of late. We welcome in fifth-year head coach Patrick Hiltz. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, I feel like we have to start on the same way we started last week. You know what? It's a big week, actually. You were 0-3 going into last week on Thursday Night Football predictions, but you nailed it with the Bears. I was a little pessimistic on that pick. Tonight's a big one. It's two local teams, the Broncos and Chiefs. I've got to ask where you're leaning.
Well, as a former Raider fan, and I say former until Josh McDaniels is let go, which hopefully won't be too long from now, and I can come back over to Raider Nation. But, you know, you follow the Chiefs this year. You have to if you live in Kansas, and they've obviously got a great record. They are the defending champs, and they're a great, great team led by Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and his girlfriend. but I feel like they're toying around with some of these teams that they should be maybe, I don't want to say blowing out, but not having to struggle as much to beat these teams. And so, you know, you worry. What's going on? Why can't we just play clean and get these games done? So now we go in conference with a Denver team that desperately needs a win. And when you're up against a team that is desperate for a win, it can get dangerous because they get to the point where nothing matters and they just play all out because worst case scenario is that they lose. Well, they've already done that a whole bunch. So how do you beat a team like that? So this one worries me a little bit for Chiefs fans. And so looking at it from a betting perspective, there's a 10.5 point spread. Seems like a lot. Kansas City hasn't been blowing people out. They played close with the Bears. They played close with the Jets. They're playing close with teams that they should be beating easily. So trying to get back to 500 from me here.
All right. This is a big pick right here.
Yeah. It's the Chiefs. The Chiefs are winning this game. It's not even going to be close. I'm seeing something like 38-17, okay. And that is if Denver can score a couple points. That might be a high number for Denver. So if I'm just going straight up, I take the Chiefs. I think I might also go ahead, and it's a big number, but I feel like the Chiefs are going to get back to the Chiefs tonight. And it's a conference game. Denver's really struggling with some things. I think I lay the 10.5, and I think Kansas City's going to blow them out tonight.
I have that same feeling. Do you know the last time that the Broncos beat the Chiefs?
I believe Patrick Mahomes is 16-0. Is that high? I think it's 16-0 against
them. I know he's undefeated.
Yeah. So it's been a minute.
2015. They have not beaten the Chiefs since September 17th, 2015. And the reason I mention that is because all of a sudden you've come in these last couple weeks and you're starting to buck some trends. Your Garden City had a 20-match losing streak against Colby. Now, I know that wasn't all you, but you broke that. You did the same thing this last week against Seward. You guys have looked really impressive since those 5-set wins against Dodge. Back-to-back sweeps against Seward and Cloud County. Tell me, what are some of your takeaways from these matches?
I thought we played well against Seward. You know, the Dodge matches were a grind. It's a rivalry game, and I felt both teams played really hard like you would expect in a rivalry game, and we were lucky enough to get away with two wins. Seward, you know, I don't know what's going on there. There's a traditional powerhouse, and they just don't seem to be clicking right now. And really, that's not for us to worry about. We were supposed to worry about us, and we did exactly that in that game. We executed very, very well. We kept our energy up. We kept our spirits up, and we were able to get away with a 3-0 win. Did snap a nice, was it 22 matches, so something like 11 years. We play them twice a year. And then last night at Cloud, I mean, we got on the court. We looked like we had been on a bus for 4 hours. Our energy was low. Our enthusiasm was lower than normal. Our focus was insane. It was very businesslike. And literally, I think their whole attitude is we're here to do a job. Let's get the job done and let's get home. And that was how we played. It was clean. It was flawless. It was with purpose. It wasn't super high energy like you normally see from us. But I was very okay with it. I mean, everybody keeps saying, good job, coach, good job. I didn't do a thing. I didn't have to do anything. All I did was flash some number signs behind my back for serving zones, and that was it. The girls took care of the rest, led by Tola Mashka, our setter and our captain. She set the tone early, getting off the bus, saying we need to warm up well. We need to be ready to go. And I just I got to sit back and kind of watch the show, and it was really kind of nice for a change because Cloud is a good team. They're very good at home. They've been beating some good teams at home and been strong. So for us to go in there and do what we did was incredibly impressive. Super proud of the girls. And, you know, we gotta regroup and get ready for another road game on Saturday that we have to have. I mean, the conference, yeah, we're in third place. We're tied for third with Colby. We got the tiebreaker currently with them. But we got to have every game. And I think we're going to probably need to get to 10 wins to secure third place. And that's no easy task, seeing as we're at 7 right now. We need 3 of the next 4 minimum, and none of those games are going to be easy. So we got our work cut out for us still.
So this last game against Cloud was like a true business trip, really.
Yes.
I mean, come in, come out, get the win. You mentioned the focus. Where were some points in that match where you kind of saw the focus different from some other games that you've seen this season?
I think it was just a general feel. We had no signs of any stress. It wasn't aloof in any way. There was one play, I think Tola and Pinar kind of crashed into each other fighting over an overpass and who was going to hit it, and Tola ended up hitting it into the bottom of the net. And they talked about it, came away with it, laughed about it a little bit, and they were fine. But the rest of the night, you know, even when it was tight first set, it was 11-11, and Vittoria went back there and started firing off serves, left and right aces, and we pushed from there, and then once we had that lead, it was like a vice grip. We never really gave it up. They would try and do something, and we would always have an answer, and there was never any panic. That was always under control. We knew where we could go to get points. We knew it was available. Tola was in command the whole night of the offense, and everything just worked very smoothly. We were able to get in and out of rotations quickly. We didn't get stuck in any one rotation like we've done in the past. We sided out at an incredible percentage. I think it was 65% for the night. Just very clean, very methodical, no panic. But yet there was not that super high energy and yelling and screaming that we normally have. It was just, I don't want to say matter of fact, but I think you said it correctly. It was a business-like attitude. It was very job-related. Like, let's get in here, do our job, and get out of here.
With that warm-up that you had, you mentioned, you know, getting off that bus after 4.5 hours can be tough. And Tola mentioned that, you know, we have to have a good warm-up today. Did you notice anything different in that warm-up transition to the match?
Not really. Okay. I think there was less chatter. So if there was anything, it was less random chatter. You know, sometimes they'll talk about anything and everything while they're getting their bodies ready to go. It was just an intense focus of that's just been different than anything I've seen this year, and it was really neat to see because we're going to need that combination with high energy and enthusiasm moving forward to be able to get to the summit, to be able to get to where we want to get to. And it was nice to be able to see that we can have that level of focus. And because when we add that level of focus with the energy enthusiasm, holy cow, we're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, that is a tile of performance, the way you're describing it. One thing that I noticed about the match, you had 10 service aces.
Yep.
Throughout that game. How important were those points throughout the match?
It fuels us. I think that's a really big piece of what we do, and I don't think people recognize it. We have 6 rotations that we can get aces out of, and not many teams have that. We do not have one weak server that goes back there to serve for us. Every single person is putting pressure on our opponent's serve receive, and that is hard to deal with for 6 rotations. And so it gives us an advantage from the very beginning because they're going to be out of system. They got to work on stuff. And, you know, we're making them uncomfortable from the service line from the very beginning. It's as if, you know, if it's a boxing match, we start every round with a free punch to the face. And now you have to recover. And so it's a really nice tool for us to have on our side.
I like that mindset. I've also heard the mindset a lot from coaches that, you know, a team is as strong as their weakest link. And the fact that you are so balanced, is that something you were really trying to develop throughout the offseason?
I think it was, you know, that's always something that you want to do when you're building the roster. And we had, you know, on paper, I liked what we had going into preseason. And then, of course, it changed. losing some players to Division One late and a couple players and ended up deciding this wasn't for them and go home, which you get at this level, you know. But once we knew who we had, it was a matter of finding an identity and understanding who we are and what we can and can't do. Conversations with Tola about that, lots of conversations with the girls about, you know, just understand who you are and how you can win. And it took a couple weeks for us to figure that out. Well, then we lose like Yelena, and so we kind of have to rediscover ourselves again. Now Yelena comes back. It's a kind of a shot in the arm, really, but we're also still relearning what that looks like. And I think the last couple games, you see her value, number one. You know, we've played two teams that we played without her the first time, and we swept them 3-0 now when we have Yelena. That tells you her importance to our offense. And just even having her on the court, her leadership on the court, her level of calmness. You know, when you talk about a business attitude, she keeps things calm. As long as she's out there, she's able to be a voice. But more importantly, we know if we need a point, we can get the ball to her, and more than likely she's going to score it for us. And that calms everything down. So we've been kind of learning and developing what we are and who we are throughout the season. But we're getting on a pretty good page right now. We're starting to gel at just the right time.
Would you say she's kind of that big game player for you, where if you're playing someone tough, she's going to step up?
Absolutely. I think the reason for that is because every game is a big game for her. She takes every opponent seriously. She takes what she does very seriously. And I think that rubs off on the whole team. And that's why lately we've been able to be our best when our best is required. And we've been playing good volleyball. So everybody is on board, but we also know that Yelena is probably the silent leader. She doesn't have the C next to her name, doesn't have the C on the jersey. That she is probably that leader on the court that I don't want to say we've been missing, because we've been okay without her, but it's a massive difference with her. Everything is starting to kind of click now that we've got pieces in place where they need to be.
Let me talk about the person with the C, though. Tola, how does she lead?
Quietly. I think on the court, she just goes out to try and do her job. She's learning how to be a little bit more vocal as a setter and understand that she can demand more of her teammates because she's the setter, number one, but number two, because she's the captain. And so she's trying to find that voice. She's not by nature somebody that's going to look at somebody and get in their face and say, let's go. But she also is recognizing sometimes she needs to do that and just because of her position. You know, the quarterback has to have command of the huddle, if you will. And she's had command of the offense. Her and I are on the same page more often than not now. I've been trying to find some situations where I can take some pressure off of her and help her see the court, see the correct choices as far as play call and decision making. But for the most part, she's making great decisions. She's delivering the ball well and putting her hitters in position to be successful. So that's kind of where she leads on the court. Off the court, it's just a matter of when there's a decision needs to be made for the team, she understands what I want. She understands what my expectations are. She's able to relay that and make a decision for the team and lead the team in that regard off the court.
Did you work with her specifically on things that you want to see off the court, or did she just kind of pick it up immediately?
I think she learned it. I think, you know, when you have a program to the point now where we are, we were missing some leadership when I got here. We had to establish a way of doing things and create a culture. And the only way you do that is when you have good, solid leaders from sophomores. You got to have a sophomore group that the freshmen can learn from. And then it just kind of keeps going from there. Every year, the freshmen have somebody that they can look up to. And we finally got that last year in the form of Emma Saltz, who is now at Friends University. She was our captain last year. And she basically told anybody and everybody, didn't matter if they were shorter than her or taller than her. There wasn't anybody shorter than her. But she would get in your face, even if she had to get up on a chair to get in your face and tell you this is how it's going to be. She established our culture. She said, this is the expectation. This is how we do things. And Tola was able to watch that, learn from Emma. They played the same position. It was a natural progression for Tola to step into that role, which she did beautifully in the spring, got a little bit of a spring practice in being a captain, handled it beautifully. And so it was just a very easy transition because she had somebody to watch and emulate that was able to show her what that's supposed to look like. And so now Tola is able to be that, and we'll see which one of the freshmen wants to step up and continue this trend so that we can continue to have the good seasons that we're having and keep the culture exactly where it's at.
I was going to ask that. Do you think it'll be a smooth transition from Emma to Tola the way it'll be from Tola to whichever freshman steps up?
I don't see why it wouldn't be. Tola has been great for everybody, and this team is just so close. They get along wonderfully, and I just don't see, because we have so few egos, you know, everybody wants to be good, obviously, at what they do, but there's so much selflessness on this team that I don't see anybody having an issue with one person being the quote-unquote captain and making the decisions, because they all talk about everything. They all make the decisions together. They're all one team. Just for me personally, I don't need 10 people coming to me. I want one person coming to me for certain things. And so that's the only reason we have that situation. So I think it'll be smooth. I don't think there'll be any issues.
Going back to the sewer game, actually, one thing that I saw in that match, you were trailing over halfway in both the first set and the third set and overcame both. How proud are you the way of this team is able to respond and overcome?
You know, it's kind of not surprising. We've dealt with so much this year with adversity and losing players on the roster, being shorthanded, losing, you know, arguably your best hitter for an extended period of time, having nagging injuries, illnesses, this, that, whatever. I mean, they could make excuses left and right, and they never have. And so being down by three, being down by four late, it's just another obstacle for them, and they know what they need to do, and they know that they can always come back. They believe in each other so much that there's never a panic button on this team. It just doesn't exist, and we're going to continue to fight, and if the gap is too much and we can't quite catch up, well, then we wash it and we go on to the next set, and we're glad that we play best of five. We've had moments where we had bad sets, we couldn't recover, and we couldn't get out of our own way, and then we were able to rebound and win the match. And so we understand that there's no moment that is the end of the world. And so being down by three or four, that's doable. We can come back in that. We did that against Seward, obviously, two out of the three times. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that knowing if we can't make the comeback, it's not the end of the world. We've got another set that we can go play. So we're able to just focus on each point for the point that it is, and believe in each other and believe in the system.
Now, to go back to something we were talking about before we came on air, this conference just keeps getting crazier. Day in, day out, the team's now up to third on tiebreak with Colby, who you'll face on later this week. For the people that haven't seen the standings, can you just explain how much these final four games are going to mean for this team?
It's important because we want that first round playoff game to be at home. That's been our goal all season, is to let's at least get that. So we've clinched a playoff spot. Now it's just a matter of what seed are we going to have. And so for us to be currently in third, that's perfect. We got to be in the top four to host a playoff game, because top four hosts the bottom four. And right now, you know, we're tied with Colby. We're a half a game up on Butler, who's sitting in fifth. I mean, we could very easily in one game go from tied for third to tied for seventh, because everything is so jam-packed. So every single match matters. It has weight. And we've only got four games left. Some teams have six or seven. Some teams have two or three. We can't worry about that. All we can do is worry about the game that's in front of us. The next one is Pratt. You know, they're 0-11 in conference. Doesn't matter. We have to treat them like they're 11-0 and go after and be prepared and be ready to play our very best volleyball.
Very similar to what we were just talking about with this Broncos team. It seems desperate for a win, especially against a conference rival. How do you make sure the team keeps the same focus that they just had on Wednesday here on Friday? Because that's another long car drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nearly 4 hours, but we talked about that today, you know, that we're in a great position for playoffs, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. We can't be looking to our two massive home games next week, you know, Wednesday Butler and Saturday sophomore night against Colby. Yeah, those are two big games, but we have to make them big games by taking care of business on Saturday. We cannot overlook anybody, because every game is so valuable right now. And so I told the girls, we've been doing a really good job of taking one game at a time, focusing on the next opponent and not getting ahead of ourselves. We understand the big pictures out there. We understand that we're in a good position, but we also know that we're in that position because we focused on one game at a time. Next opponent, next opponent, next opponent. And when we start thinking too far ahead is when we're going to get bit, you know, and play a bad game. So we want to make sure we're prepared. I want to make sure that I'm prepared as a coach. I'm locked in, want to make all the right choices as far as game planning and teaching these girls and telling them what to expect. So I'm watching a ton of film, make sure I don't miss anything. And we treat Pratt exactly the same as we treat anybody else, because they're a hungry team, and hungry teams are dangerous. They took a set off of this last time, and they took two sets off of Cloud. They went five sets with Cloud at home. So they play well at home. They're going to be fighting like crazy to try and get one win. That's their championship now. We have to make sure that we're focused and ready to take on whatever challenge they are.
It's a four-game winning streak for this Busters volleyball team. They look to make it five tomorrow on the road against Pratt. Final two home games are next week against Butler and Colby, respectively, and those are going to be two huge games as those three teams jockey to host a playoff game. That is Brock Busters volleyball head coach Patrick Hiltz once again joining us to start off the coach's show. Coach, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Appreciate you having me. Go Busters.
When we come back, we're going to hear from soccer coach Corey Bryan about his team's recent results against Seward County and Don City. It's all coming up here live from Old Chicago. It's the Garden City Community College Coaches Show.